You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, I do think it's really interesting. We now have very good information about damp and mould, better than we've ever had, and that's because we've done many studies on it and so have a number of other people, and we've showed that damp and mould are connected to particularly respiratory conditions. But we've never, those are people that we've studied who, say, come into hospital or have developed asthma. But we haven't really known how widespread the exposure to damp and mould is over the general population. We've done surveys before, but for the first time in 2018, everybody in New Zealand was asked about it. So we now know what the prevalence is across the whole population, and that's very important. And also the general social survey had some questions about it. So we now know that one in five homes in New Zealand are damp some of the time. And we know that the situation, as we had found in our other studies, was much worse for renters. About 8% of renters say that their house is always damp, and about a third of them sometimes. So we knew that damp is connected to problems with ill health and respiratory, especially for children and older people, separately from mould, as we're not quite sure what the contribution of both is. But so we decided to try and get a measure of how much mould people are in the house. And if you remember, in the census, people were asked, do you have mould in your house that's that adds up to about an A4 sheet of paper? And we were using this measure because it's been used in other jurisdictions. And in renters, people who are renting, they found one in five that mould was always present. So that's, 20% of the population. For other people who own their own home or in trust, that was 2%, and one in 10. So in other words, it's much more common in renters. And in fact, in the general social survey, people said that 30% of people said that their homes were sometimes damp. So it's getting a very consistent picture, that there's a high proportion of people whose homes are damp, much more than we would like, and that also mould is prevalent. And this ties in with work that we, there's another factor that makes this complicated, which is people who are on very low incomes, which people in rental accommodation are more likely to be, even if the home is made energy efficient, say with some of these warm-up New Zealand-type programs, they may not benefit if they can't actually afford to pay for heating. And the price of electricity, of course, has risen steadily, through the last couple of decades. So even though which is a problem, I think, and needs to be really looked at closely. So people who can't afford to pay for the price of their heating, they're likely to be in houses that are damper and mouldier. And so the problem, the problems are feeding on each other. We've got to look at both of the construction of our houses, and we've also got to look at making sure that people on lower incomes are able to afford to heat their houses. Because in New Zealand, given our high rainfall and the way we construct our houses, you need extra heating if you're going to have your house up to 18 degrees, what the WHO recommends. So I think it's really great that the NZDEP includes this as one of the factors. But we know that these things are very interrelated. They're connected to each other. And so you can't just have one solution. You've got to fix up housing. The Healthy Homes Guarantee is the government instituted to try and get landlords to improve the quality of housing. But we've got to, it's not just enough to say you should do that. Somebody's got to monitor it and make sure that they do that. And we are often quite bad about it in New Zealand. We pass a regulation and but nobody actually really monitors to see it. It's not like the house gets taken along to the, as a car does to the testing station. Somebody's actually got to go to the house, and that's more expensive, so we tend not to do it.
Right. Now, this raises many a question for me. And I know you have to go, so I'm going to sort of try and get through some quick fire ones. You talked about the construction of houses. So is there a correlation between the typology of houses and mouldiness?
Yes, we've done quite a lot of work on this. It's a good question. Yeah, if they're single glazed, as you see, we didn't have any building standards until 1978. Well, there was some requirement in early regulations, but basically there wasn't really a building code until 1978. So any houses built before that, and really right up until the last decade, single glazing was fine anywhere in New Zealand.
Why is that?
And because we're so slow to make changes. People say, oh, well, you know, it would be expensive to do something about. And then often if double glazing has gone in, you've got to make sure you don't have a thermal break. That is where condensation occurs. And then we have this rather ridiculous rule in New Zealand that anything you can get from the outside only needs to last 15 years. So unlike Germany and countries where they really think about the long term, You can put in double glazed windows and then find that they've got to be replaced or remediated after 15 years. And crazy.
That's crazy though, right? That sounds ridiculous to me.
Yeah, so I think because it's, you know, home is your castle idea, we've got to change that. For one thing, you know, only half people in New Zealand, adults in New Zealand, now own their own house. So higher and higher proportion of people are renting. And so they can't put in double glazing. I mean, we have to raise the standards of housing because that's what we know. It keeps people well or makes them sick. And there are too many children in particular in hospital for sicknesses that we know are related to damp, cold houses and their parents not being able to heat the house properly.
Is it also to do with single detached houses? That Kiwi dream of having your own house with your backyard and all these sorts of things.
Now, that is a very good point too. I mean, one of the things with these standalone houses, you've got to heat the whole house. And if you have friends in an apartment or family in an apartment, you'll know that actually the apartments are often very warm because the person below them and the person above them helps to insulate them and the person alongside. And so people in apartment buildings have much lower heating bills and keep much warmer than people in standalone houses. So it's one of the drivers that I think it's really important that we don't just kind of keep on spreading in greenfield sites on standalone houses for many reasons. For energy efficiency, because that's related to how much carbon we burn or use. We've got to get our houses more energy efficient, both for people's health, but to stop just taking over good productive land to build standalone houses, so which people forget are going to be really expensive to heat. We've just had a seminar yesterday raising points like houses now are sort of triple the size they were in the 1950s, although they still house the same number of people. And so, in fact, while our houses are getting more energy efficiency, they're getting so much bigger that we're still using takes a lot of energy to heat them. So it's ridiculous, really. I mean, houses used to be about 100 square meters, and now they're new houses on standalone sites, McMansions, are often 250, 300 square metres. So that's a problem.
What are the actual costs of housing like this in terms of them being damp or mouldy on people's well-being? We've talked about the respiratory problems, but does this also have an effect on people's mental health and I guess the way that they can actually engage in society?
That's true. There's the respiratory conditions and also for older people cardiovascular, but the other one is mental health. And actually when I had young children, I was in a home that was very damp and it was sort of a slightly grim, and I went out to my parents who warmed me up and gave me nice meals, and not everybody's in a position about that. And we've done studies showing that if people are in a damp, mouldy house, they wrongly, but they think about it as dirty, you know, and so they don't like to ask people around to the house because it's kind of cold and a bit miserable. And we've done work with children showing off, and if a house is really cold, as one child put it, you know, it's like being in Mount Everest here. And so they don't ask kids home after school. You know, people can get more isolated, I think, with that. And we also found people who did quite risky behaviour, like standing on stools and sponging off the mould on ceilings with bleach and stuff like that, which is dangerous because you can fall off, and also the bleach is going into your mouth. And actually the work that we did where we sent in building inspectors, and we found that it was what was causing mould inside the house is usually structural problems in the house, either the roof's leaking or the there's a pipe that's got, you know, down pipe that's come away, or the spouting's not in good condition. There's a lot of deferred maintenance in New Zealand housing in general, I think. And moreover, it's the problems of, you know, twice, three times as great in rental housing. So my view from a public health position is that if you rent a house to someone else, then you're selling a service, you're selling housing services, and we've got to make sure that that service doesn't make people sick. But I mean, I live in a city, Wellington, and there's a property next door that was an old house that's turned into three flats, and there was a queue of people right down the streets, you know, trying to rent it, and it's it's very damp, as the agent said, and that was, you know, 520. So I mean, when you've got a shortage of housing and the rental prices are going up, you know, when it's a kind of
it puts people
market,
in a precarious position, actually.
Yeah, it does, and I mean these and it's mainly students going to the house next door. But I mean, if you're a mother with a child, it's very difficult decisions to take. You know, you need to find somewhere, preferably close to amenities of childcare and preschool and stuff like that. You don't want to be stuck out in the whoop-whops. And yet, you know, the housing is really expensive. And one of the things I think we forget about housing is it's not just the quality of the housing, but it's where it is. And if you've got to have a job, if you've got a part-time job, and you're way out away from public transport, then your housing combined with your transport costs are even more expensive.
Okay, I've got 2 minutes, so one minute. My final question, complacency, I suppose, is what my question is, because there's people who are in these precarious positions, and like you say, the renters often don't have the option to push back against the landlords, but also there's kind of this greater complacency, I feel, from society. If we're talking about this, it's kind of like it's normal to have a damp or mouldy house or something, you know, like it's actually just normal, or it's because it rains a lot here, or the climate, or all of these things. And I know that the government is putting regulations into place, but you know, we need
a big step forward.
Major changes, right?
They've only just come in, but the number of articles I've read with landlords complaining about, you know, they put through this terrible time by the government, which gave, you know, there's been 3 years' notice for this, and that's why they've had to put their prices up. In many of these Europe countries, it's a commercial businesses that are run really effectively and efficiently, with well-maintained, with secure tenancies, and people expect to be warm and dry in their homes. They don't expect to have to live in one room and wipe the mould off the ceiling. So, yes, and I think when people come from overseas where homes are built of stone or, you know, much more solid materials than wood. Yeah, no, I mean, we're often more concerned that there's a double garage or that there's two toilets rather than the fact that there's insulation in the walls and the ceilings and underneath the house when you need those sheets, because New Zealand, of course, has high rainfalls and lots of houses are built on you get pooling underneath the house, so it's like you've got constantly having all that water vaporizing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.